In the name of God, the beneficent, the most beneficent, the most merciful. We will continue part three of our presentation of why the Iranian elections were not rigged, why they were free, why Iranian society is not as it is presented by Western media outlets, in particular CNN, who have gone into overdrive and they have shed all semblance of journalistic integrity and impartiality because they are so desperate and they see their vision for a Middle East as dictated to them by their Zionist cohorts and the Zionist journalists within CNN. Not all of them are Zionists, of course, but they see this dream of secular liberal democracy taking over the world being dashed before their eyes, and then they have become so desperate in their attempts to stop the re-election of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who makes them wake up at night crying, that they have done what they are doing, which is shameful and shameless. Anyway, line number three, the security forces in Iran have been brutal. This again is a blatant lie without investigation or substantiation. The fact of the matter is that 30 people have died since the elections. Seven of them died while attacking a local militia building and setting it on fire. Can you imagine what would happen if some citizens in Dallas tried to attack a local police station and set it on fire? These criminals are lucky that only seven of them died. The rest of the deaths happened in unknown circumstances at night. Suffice it to say that in the past 3 days, the Iranian intelligence ministry has intercepted phone calls from the MKO, Mujahideen-e-Khalq organization, a terrorist group that is based out of Paris, recently granted asylum by Sarkozy. Well, that's a whole different subject. I don't even want to talk about him right now. They have the Iranian intelligence ministry has intercepted phone calls from the MKO to people in Tehran. By the way, the MKO was, just to give you a brief history lesson, was responsible for the assassination of Ayatollah Mutahhari, Ayatollah Behishti, and up to 72 top Iranian government officials, including the president of Iran at that time. Phone calls have been intercepted directing young men trained in camps on how to set buses ablaze, how to cause chaos, and how to attack security forces. The phone calls were made by an agent who identifies herself as Zohra, and the culprits who were caught confessed on national television when confronted with overwhelming evidence. Add to this the fact that the U.S. has appropriated $400 million for the covert war against the Iranian regime, according to Seymour Hersh, a respected U.S. journalist, and that Obama has done nothing to rescind this order by Bush, and it is a wonder that only 30 people have died. Just recently, there was a suicide attack on the shrine of Imam Khomeini, and there are, as we said earlier, the $400 million is going towards a group called Jundullah, a terrorist organization. Even the U.S. State Department, which tends to be at odds with the Pentagon on things, the U.S. State Department has branded it a terrorist organization because I guess the U.S. State Department could not abide the just sheer hypocrisy of not branding them a terrorist organization. But anyway, they have been causing a lot of trouble in Iran. And 30 people dying is amazing. I would think more people would die given the subversive behavior going on in Iran. Again, the majority of the 30 people that died all died during the night, but only a few hundred miscreants and paid agents were on the streets of Tehran, burning buildings, attacking security forces, etc. Iranian security forces have been remarkably restrained in the face of provocation and attacks. Over 400 police officers have been wounded, injured. Of those, a few have died, if I'm not mistaken. Tehran residents have filed over 10,000 complaints against the few hundred rioters who are hell-bent on causing chaos. Iranian police are not allowed to use lethal weapons or force, and even CNN has been forced to admit that the police have used batons, water cannons, and tear gas, non-lethal means to control these few hundred miscreants. Not one piece of video has emerged that shows Iranian security forces, police in particular, because they're the ones who are taking care of the Iranian police, Tehran police are the ones who are taking care of the rioters. Not one piece of video has emerged that has shown Iranian Tehrani police using lethal force against the protesters. Again, remember, Iran is a nation full of cell phones and video cameras, and all the protesters carry video cell phones, and they record each other and themselves all the time. And I'm sure if any such incident occurred, CNN would have gleefully broadcast it for the rest of the world to see. It's also interesting that CNN only posts those recordings on websites that it wants us to see when millions of recordings exist, but it only posts the few that it wants us to see that create impressions of chaos and edits them so that people are led to believe that these innocent bystanders are being attacked by security forces. Again, not one piece of evidence, video, not a scintilla of evidence has emerged that proves or has shown that Iranian security forces have used any kind of lethal force or any kind of brute force against the protesters. This brings us to lie number four. These protests, and the lie is, I'm reciting the lie. The lie is that these protests by a few hundred troublemakers are in fact similar to the 1979 Iranian Islamic Revolution and will bring the end to the Farid Zakaria, that Apu-sounding idiot, has claimed that this will bring the end of the theocracy of Iran. Well, this dimwit knows nothing about Iran. He knows nothing about the Iranian people. He doesn't speak Farsi. He doesn't speak Persian. It's interesting that Christiana Amanpour, the Persian-speaking correspondent, is not making such claims, though she might later on, once she gets back to Atlanta, the home office of CNN, and is forced to do so by the executives at CNN, Ted Turner in particular, who's an ardent Zionist,